I think so. I think it's going to be tough for some countries. These things have to go through internal processes like in my country. But the implications for not following through are far greater than any risk that one's going to take by signing this. And I think one of the big challenges we had in the beginning, and I think the Secretary General really helped us, were providing commitments to this. And that gave us a reality check as to, okay, what is conditional and what is non-conditional? What can we do and what can we not do? And where do we need help? I think these things are possible, and I think people really believe that these can happen.
What kind of role do you want your country to play going forward with this?
Implementation, ensuring that whatever we commit to with our own nationally determined contributions is integrated into our national plans and it's reflected in our budgets. I think then we can really start to talk about having the leverage to call others to action when the actions begin at home.
What kind of impact do you think both the Paris Agreement and the Sustainable Development Goals are going to have on women in general and then women in Africa?
I think that women in Africa benefit from this most if we can get them implemented. It's an integral part of what happens. Again, it's about context, and that's why the narrative is so powerful, because the context is about, again, women and adolescent girls being at the brunt of this, and what do we do to take them back from the brink? And the whole, I think, feeling that this cannot continue to happen and the zero tolerance of allowing it to continue. And I think the climate agreement provides the basis for that, for us to take actions to make it happen. It's not going to be easy, and I think that we all have to struggle to make it happen, but that's the call to action.
Are you excited, encouraged by the progress that's been made so far?
It's a short time. I think the progress that we have made is that some countries have been doing this anyway, and I think it's coming more to the fore now what they have been doing. And so for me, the kind of progress I've seen is that I'm able to challenge business and the status quo when I get back, because the world now knows climate change is real. We have to take climate actions. We are sending signals to financial markets that it's okay to invest in this, because if you don't, the alternative, you'll pay dearly and more in the longer run. It's good. It's good.
Do you think that having to also fight climate change is challenging for nations that are still developing their economies?
Yes, it is. It is. And that's why we need the partnerships. And that's why the commitments for adaptation are really important for Africa. And without that, then we're not going to succeed. That's why we say conditional and non-conditional. We have to grow because we've got to take our people out of poverty. And to do that green, we need help. Otherwise, we'll continue to do it brown.
What are the most important steps specifically, do you think, to fighting climate change going forward?
Going forward, as I said, we want to see investments behind the actions that we want to take. I think there is still a lot of communicating and educating and understanding and informing those policy frameworks. We still have to do that and put a plan in place. And then thereafter, I think we have to go after the investments and make them happen. I think it's going to be important defining the partners and the role of young people in this. They've got the energy and the vision, and with the expertise and experience that we have, that's a good partnership. But it also means partnerships between and within governments, across borders, with the business sector, and just calling everyone to the plus side they have to add to this and to make it happen. So it should be about solutions. It should be about how to do it and not why you can't do it.